This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to recognize when tension management has failed, and what to do next. The warning signs that workplace tension has crossed the point of no return. In short, when tension management has failed, the damage really looks dramatic at first. It looks like quieter meetings, shorter replies, and colleagues who stop disagreeing with you. Suppressed tension does not disappear. It hardens into patterns that take months to undo. The signs are specific and observable, if you know what you are looking for. Early recognition is the difference between a repair conversation and a broken team. Definition: tension management fail describes the point at which deliberate efforts to contain, address, or redirect workplace friction have stopped working, leaving unresolved conflict to compound beneath the surface of professional interaction, eroding trust, communication, and team cohesion over time. A manager I knew once told me his team was fine. No raised voices, no complaints filed, meetings that ran on time. He was proud of it. 3 months later, two of his strongest people had quietly applied elsewhere, a third had stopped contributing in any real sense, and a project had collapsed without warning. The tension had been there for a year. He just never learned to read it. Tension management failure is hard to catch because the early signs do not look like failure. They look like professionalism, patience, or simply a quiet week. By the time the obvious symptoms appear, the damage has been building for months. This article will show you 6 specific signs that tension management has failed, name the root cause that drives most of them, give you a practical tool to assess where you stand today, and point you toward a clear first move. 6 signs that tension has moved beyond managing. 1. Agreements that nobody follows through on. What it looks like: a decision gets made in a meeting, everyone nods, and then nothing changes. This happens once, then twice, then it becomes the rhythm. Why it happens: when people do not trust that a resolution is genuine, they comply publicly and withhold privately. Agreement becomes a way to end the conversation, not a commitment to act. Why it matters: a team that cannot execute its own decisions is a team that has lost faith in its own process. Each unmet commitment adds weight to the existing tension. What to do: before the meeting ends, ask each person to state specifically what they will do and when, then follow up. If the same person repeatedly fails to follow through, that is a conversation you need to have directly, not in a group. I have sat in more rooms than I can count where everyone agreed, and nobody meant it. The agreement was just a polite way of ending an uncomfortable discussion. 2. Debate disappears from your meetings. What it looks like: proposals sail through without challenge. Nobody pushes back. The room feels efficient, even pleasant. But you leave with a vague sense that something important was not said. Why it happens: people disengage from open debate when they believe it is not safe to disagree. This is not apathy. It is self-protection. They have learned, usually through experience, that challenge leads to friction that does not get resolved. Why it matters: a team without internal challenge produces worse decisions. The silence in your meetings is borrowed time, not agreement. If you want to understand what productive meetings actually look like, the presence of genuine debate is one of the clearest indicators. What to do: assign someone to argue against the proposal. Make it a rule, not a personal criticism. This restores permission to disagree without requiring anyone to be brave on their own. When a room full of smart people stops disagreeing, they have not suddenly reached wisdom. They have reached exhaustion. 3. Side conversations replace direct dialogue. What it looks like: concerns get raised in hallway chats, private messages, and one-on-one conversations after the fact, but never in the room where they belong. You hear about a problem through someone who heard it from someone else. Why it happens: direct dialogue requires a degree of psychological safety that unresolved tension erodes. Side conversations feel safer because they carry no immediate consequence. They are also far less effective because they solve nothing. Why it matters: when the real conversations happen outside the official ones, you lose the ability to address friction where it can actually be resolved. The underground communication network becomes more trusted than the formal one. What to do: when someone brings your concern via a back channel, ask them directly, "Would you be willing to raise this in the team?" If they say no, that tells you something important about the environment you've built, and that is worth examining. A conversation that cannot happen in the open is a problem that cannot be solved in the open. the two are connected. 4. One person consistently goes quiet during conflict. What it looks like, there's someone on the team who used to contribute, push back, or ask hard questions. Now they go silent whenever tension rises. They may still perform their tasks, but their presence in any charged moment has withdrawn almost entirely. Why it happens? This person has likely tried to engage with the tension before and found it unrewarding or unsafe. Withdrawal is a rational response to a situation where engagement has repeatedly cost more than it returned. Why it matters? Withdrawal is often mistaken for acceptance. It is almost never acceptance. It is accumulated frustration that has found no outlet. If you want people to feel genuinely heard, silence in conflict is the opposite signal. Ensuring every participant gets heard starts with recognizing when someone has stopped trying to be. What to do? Speak to this person privately, not in the group. Ask what has changed. Listen without defending yourself or the team. What you hear will likely be more honest than anything said in a meeting. The quietest person in the room is often the one with the clearest view of what went wrong. You just have to earn the right to hear it. 5. The tension feels resolved, but the relationship has cooled. What it looks like. Two colleagues had a difficult exchange, worked through it, and said the right things. On the surface, it is fine. But interactions have become notably formal. They copy more people on emails. The ease is gone. Why it happens? This is the counterintuitive one. A conversation that felt like resolution may have only addressed the surface disagreement, leaving the underlying grievance untouched. The professionalism you are seeing is distance, not repair. Why it matters? A working relationship that has been patched without genuine repair will crack again at the first sign of pressure. Formal politeness is not trust. It is managed distance. Rebuilding trust after unresolved tension has damaged a working relationship is a separate and more difficult task than resolving the original disagreement. What to do? Revisit the conversation. Not to relitigate it, but to ask honestly whether both people felt heard. A simple "I want to make sure we are actually okay, not just professionally okay" opens more doors than most people expect. I once thought a repair conversation had gone well because the other person shook my hand. It took me 6 months to realize I had resolved the argument and lost the relationship. 6. Feedback has become rare or relentlessly positive. What it looks like. People are no longer giving each other real feedback. What feedback exists is either vague praise or delivered in such careful language that it communicates nothing useful. Why it happens. Honest feedback requires trust. When tension has eroded the relationship, people instinctively avoid anything that might spark further friction. Praise feels safer than honesty. Silence feels safer still. Why it matters. A team that cannot give and receive real feedback has lost one of its most important tools for growth. Effective feedback is the backbone of workplace growth, and when tension management has failed, it is usually the first casualty. Work quality follows shortly after. What to do? Model the behavior you want. Give someone a piece of direct, specific, respectful feedback this week. Not critical for its own sake, but real. Others will take notice. When everyone starts telling everyone else that everything is great, nothing is great. That level of uniform positivity is fear with a smile on it. The root that feeds all of these signs. Every one of these signs shares a common source. Avoidance has become the operating norm. Not avoidance born from malice or laziness. Avoidance that grew from repeated experiences where raising tension felt more costly than absorbing it. When people try to address friction and find that nothing improves, or that the attempt makes things worse, they stop trying. They manage the appearance of the relationship instead of the relationship itself. This is how tension management fails quietly. Not in a single confrontation, but in 100 small decisions to let it go. To pick a different battle, to wait until the moment is better. The moment never gets better. The wait just grows. Starting a difficult conversation that is blocking your team's progress is one way to break this pattern at the source. But first, you have to be honest about what you're actually dealing with. Where does your team stand right now? Work through this checklist. Answer yes or no to each item. Based on what you have observed in the past 4 weeks, the same conflict or friction point has resurfaced more than once without lasting resolution. People agree in meetings and act differently afterward. Debate in your team meetings has reduced significantly in the past month or two. You are hearing concerns through back channels rather than in direct conversation. At least one person has visibly withdrawn during charged discussions. A working relationship that seemed resolved still feels noticeably cooler than before. Feedback has become scarce, vague, or uniformly positive, scoring 0 to 1 yes. Tension exists, as it does in every team, but it is being managed. Stay alert, 2 to 3 yes. Warning signs are present. Address the most visible pattern now, before it compounds. 4 to 5 yes. Tension management has likely failed in specific relationships or processes. A direct conversation is overdue. 6 to 7 yes. The damage is systemic. Surface fixes will not hold. You need a structured approach to repair, and you need to start this week. If you scored 4 or above, the pattern section above names what you're dealing with. The next move is not a team-building exercise. It is an honest conversation. Your first move when the score tells you the truth. Do not call a meeting. Do not send a carefully worded email. Those tools belong to a stage of repair that comes later. Your first move is to name what you are observing, privately and without blame, to the person most central to the friction. Something simple and direct. I think there's tension between us that we have not addressed properly. I would like to fix that. Then stop talking and listen to what comes back. Handling conflict during meetings is a skill worth building, and so is understanding frameworks like the DEAL method for resolving fracturing team conflict. But neither of those tools does much work until you have acknowledged that the tension is real. The courage to name it clearly, before you have a plan, before you know how the other person will respond, is where every genuine repair begins. That much I know for certain. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last, and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emumblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Frequently asked questions. How do I know when tension management has failed? Tension management has failed when the same conflicts resurface repeatedly, people stop raising concerns openly, and side conversations replace direct dialogue. These patterns signal that surface-level fixes have not addressed the real friction beneath the working relationship. What causes tension management to fail in a team? The most common cause is avoidance disguised as professionalism. People manage tension by suppressing it rather than addressing it, which builds pressure over time. When suppression becomes the default response, even small disagreements can trigger disproportionate reactions. What should I do first when tension management has failed? Name what you're observing without assigning blame. A simple, direct statement such as "I think we have tension that we have not addressed properly" opens the door without putting anyone on the defensive. That first honest acknowledgement is often the hardest and most important move. Can tension management failure damage a working relationship permanently? Not always, but the longer unresolved tension sits, the harder repair becomes. Early intervention preserves more trust than late action. Even significantly damaged relationships can recover with honest conversation, consistent follow-through, and genuine patience from both sides. What does failed tension management look like in meetings? It shows up as silence where there should be debate, agreements that nobody follows through on, and one or two voices dominating while others disengage. If your meetings feel oddly smooth, but your results are stalling, the tension has gone underground, not away. How is tension management different from conflict resolution? Tension management is the ongoing practice of keeping friction at a productive level before it becomes open conflict. Conflict resolution addresses a dispute that has already broken out. When tension management has failed, you often need conflict resolution, but the two are not the same skill. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.